Hello, everybody. Hi, we made it. We made it. We are starting a show. It's technically happening. Welcome to the Wonderland Ballroom. Welcome to You, Me, Them, everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. I have people on stage with me. They're good people. How are you, Jen?
I'm excellent.
Co-host. And Chris, we have a DJ tonight. I agree. All right, here's the thing. My band is out of town. One of them is at a wedding. One of them is on tour. So I was like, should I get another band or should I try to learn new things? And we're going to learn new things, and I'll explain why. Every Halloween, I do the same monologue. I got a Halloween story. Every Easter, I have an Easter story. And it seems like at the end of November, or at the end of April for the past few months, I have an end of April story. And it's very simple. It's about Drag Race, RuPaul's Drag Race. Does everyone in here know what RuPaul's Drag Race is? Absolutely. A, it's the best show ever, and here, let me explain why. I got into Drag Race on accident. It's one of those things where, like, I'm really hungover. I need to watch 12 hours of something, and I'm not going to leave my apartment. What should I watch? I'll watch all of season 2 of Drag Race at once. And I did, and it was fantastic. That was 2 years ago. Last year, I kind of followed season 3 religiously. This year, I'm devout. Season 4 is about to wrap up. They've extended it another week, and there's this one drag queen that is becoming my new inspiration. Like, I used to gravitate towards all these older, like, pop culture icons, your Iggy Pop, your Ernest Hemingway, pretty much self-destructive white guys that hated women. Like, that was who, oh, I loved them. They were the best. But recently, I wouldn't agree with that at all. I mean, I'm trying to learn from these mistakes, not perpetuate stereotypes. I couldn't say perpetuate. I just did it again. Anyways, Drag Race is the opposite. It makes me realize why people desire to be famous. People want to be famous for, like, one of two reasons. One, because it's fun, you get stuff. That's one, because you had shitty parents. And the other thing is, I do something unique, and I want the rest of the world to know about it. That's what Drag Race is, and that's extremely rare. This is true. The people on Drag Race are uber talented. It takes all the best parts of Project Runway, all of the best parts of America's Next Top Model. When I say the best parts, I mean talking abstractly about an abstract. And most importantly, it gives these weird kids confidence. Now, I'm a 29-year-old white man. I'm done learning. There's nothing. I've been right forever. Like, that's just the way I was brought up. You get a job, you're white. Okay, done. You go to college, you're white. Done. I get it. You don't believe in God because you have a brain. I get it. Like, we're all there. But fuck off. Seriously? Seriously? Go to the... Okay, there's another talk show in town. If you want to talk about God, go there. No, seriously. This is a godless show, and I keep it that way for a reason. Let's all have a drink.
You can witness God in all of his glory, Holmes.
Oh, back to Drag Race. All right, so we're down to our final three, and one of the Drag Race queens is this girl named Sharon Needles. A, I just said girl... It's fucking brilliant. I said girl without prompt. Like, the gender terms for Drag Race are brilliant. I studied women's studies in college. Not a joke. Pointless. Two of the years were spent discussing gender terms. Within two episodes of Drag Race, that's thrown out the window. It's fucking brilliant. Number two, Sharon Needles is inspiring to not just creepy goth punk rock kids. And here's how I know. I work this after school program. Down the street, we deal with at-risk kids. What that really just means is I work with a bunch of black kids. Like, they're great kids, but they're all black. And that's, like, the thing. They're at risk. They're not at risk. Whatever. One of them on her Twitter page had Raja as her wallpaper. Raja is one of the other drag queens up for the final three. Raja is your typical Barbie showgirl drag queen. Really, really pretty, really, really feminine. Kind of, like, looks like a woman. You would never think, like, that's a dude. And I go, why do you have Raja on as your wallpaper, obese 15-year-old black girl that lives in the city? Why are you gravitating towards her? Well, actually, I like Sharon Needles. I just think Raja is prettier. I talked to this girl for 20 minutes about the positives and the negatives of Sharon Needles versus Raja. And by the end of that 20 minutes, she had switched her wallpaper to a photo of Sharon Needles bleeding from the mouth. Now... That is inspiring for multiple reasons. One, it's sex positive / slutty, and fucking that's the best because you never know how you're going to get a bloody mouth. Hopefully not AIDS, but you never know. And if you do, AIDS is fine nowadays. There's pills for it. No one gets hurt with AIDS anymore. That's a new thing. Number two, it's kind of teaching these girls and boys, hopefully, that it really doesn't matter as long as you fucking look kick-ass and bleed from the mouth. And I'm learning because of Drag Race, and that's why Chris is our DJ tonight. I hate what he likes, but I like him. So I'm trying to figure out, why do you like dance music? Here's why. Here's why I'm confused. A, you are with a wonderful woman, so you're not going to fuck new people, so I don't get that part. And number two, you aren't high all the time, just a medium amount of the time. So why do you like this music? We're going to figure that out throughout the evening. But I do want to say Jen is the co-host. Say hello, Jen. Jen Tisdale's the co-host.
Hey, guys.
We have great guests. We have Alexander Petrie. It's music from Parsley. Chris, will you play a song that you think I might possibly enjoy? I'm probably going to think it's awful because I've just been listening exclusively to like T-Rex and Nirvana's Drain You for the last 2 days.
There you go.
Play the song, sir. This is not a good start.
Awful. I also need to be convinced, by the way.
All right. You can just stop that now. Stop. I'm good. Okay. Here, have a microphone.
Explain yourself. Why do you like that song? It doesn't make sense to me.
It sounds like the start of a really bad montage in a really bad
episode of Knight Rider.
Yes, exactly. Why do you like Knight Rider music?
You didn't like that?
It wasn't awful, but I don't understand.
You made me hate Knight Rider, and I thought that would never be possible.
I like that part. So why? What's good about that? Why should I like that? It just sounded like the start of something incredibly boring and stereotypical.
Well, because we're on this, it was the start of something, and we didn't get to. That's what you're used to in
you
rock
need to have
songs.
Something where we jump right into it.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's it?
No, that's the start. That's the start of
it. I felt like we were doing Hustle and Flow, and I was like, just give me whoop that trick.
Yeah.
Just give me whoop that
we
trick.
We can do that.
Right?
Can you guys,
who doesn't like whooping
that trick?
We can
change this up, and I can tell you why I should like rap instead.
No, I like rap.
You like rap. Okay.
I like rap. I don't like like that. What am I paying for here? You go to the shows. You go to U-Haul and pay to see.
Oh, U-Haul.
I do go to U-Haul a lot, yeah.
Why?
Because electronic music, that was just the start of something.
All right,
takes time to build. A lot of these things, it's not going to. I have to find songs that kick you in the face right away.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. So why don't you do that and Jen and I will talk, okay?
Okay, great.
Okay. Jen, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
You have an audition tomorrow.
I do have an audition you guys should wait to hear what it's for.
What is it for, Jen? Jen Tisdale?
I'm auditioning at the Maryland Renaissance Festival for Midsummer Night's Dream.
Why are you doing this because you're a comic and you need material?
This
has nothing to do with your acting skills.
No, I don't have any of those.
Exactly.
No, what skills are those? No, I read a lot of history on 16th century England, and I actually worked at the somebody laughed. That was a real thing. I worked at the Renfest when I was a kid, like 14 to 16.
Shouldn't
Renfest, by the way. Why? Let me catch you up on the term.
Why are you going to ruin your memories of Renfest by auditioning?
Well,
for
when I worked as a child, I worked at the historically accurate milk and cookies booth. They had a lot of that back then. Not the bubonic plague booth, which would have been.
Was that a booth?
It should have been.
Oh.
Should have been. So I've always wanted to act there. Not sure why. And now I haven't memorized my monologue yet. So
and it's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow morning at 9:30. So.
Oh, you're not going to memorize anything,
we'll
are
see.
You? You're going to wing it. Are you going to wing a Shakespeare monologue?
I'm pretty sure if I just throw a bunch of thy and that, thee and thou, they'll have no idea. I'll do my own stand-up, but with some key Shakespeare terms.
Do you want to talk about clout by any chance? You mentioned that you wanted to talk about clout.
Well, do we have to wait for Nathan to return?
No, that's why we're talking about it. Okay. He's not here tonight.
I didn't know what it was, and I'd seen, like, I thought I was getting spammed. I thought it was a spam thing.
It is not.
Clout thing.
Clout is your social media score.
Right, and
yes.
If you know the definition of the word clout, then obviously it makes sense.
Yes.
And Nathan, who's our regular drummer, he's a sociologist, right?
So he's something like that.
Sort of been discussing it, and I was like, what is clout? It sounds like a scary German word. It's like, I hate Jews. I like walls. And
all right.
I just summed up the Germans.
It was like train cars, not
those
walls.
Are my people. I'm allowed to. That was like a big wall. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, not, I get it. See, you went forward. I was going Holocaust, and you went post.
I went. You. Well, you know what? For you, emotional wall. For me, an actual wall. Okay. So I was like, "What is clout?" And then I tagged Nathan on Facebook, and he let me know that my clout score is 44 out of 100. No, that's an awful score. Don't clap.
Jen,
at that.
Don't. Jen,
I'm below Jose Canseco, and he's awful.
No, Jose, do you follow Jose Canseco?
Do.
It's really awesome.
Funny, right?
What are you talking about?
Why wasn't he tweeting all the time? He should have invented Twitter. Like, don't ever.
Did you ever read his book?
No, but I will now.
It's called Juiced. I highly recommend it.
Is it about steroids or juicing?
Both.
I'm like, because I love juice recipes.
Oh, that's
is
coming
it about
up next.
Juice? Sorry, there's a theme.
No, I thought you were going to do, like, it's his George Foreman juicer.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Why doesn't that exist? Does anybody work in the, like, only on TV industry?
As seen on TV?
Yeah, I want
tell
that.
You, I did a tweet once where I wanted to do a gun rack made out of breasts, and you get to call it the gun rack.
I don't think we're going to top that. Speaking of gun racks, our first guest is a Washington Post columnist, and I'm inevitably pronouncing her name wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for a name I'm about to mispronounce. Alexandra Petrie, everybody. Yay! See, I know that song.
One
that doesn't
more
count.
Time.
When you headline, yeah, we all like Daft Punk. We all went to college. I get it. Alexandra, how are you?
Excellent.
What do you do? And how should I say your name?
It's Petrie, actually.
Petrie.
Like a vegetable that's making an effort. That's a worse mnemonic device. Actually, no, that's a better mnemonic device than the first one I came up with.
I just like Petrie dish. That's your thing.
That's the most famous guy ever named Petrie, which is sad whenever I try to Google myself because it's just like, nope.
Why do you Google yourself?
I have a problem.
How often do you Google yourself?
Well, I actually
was. Is this an innuendo?
I mean, I Google myself often, but usually in the privacy of my own home, and then my neighbors like call and they're like, "Are you having sex with a ghost?" And anyway.
That's such a nerdy joke. I like you a lot.
No, but the thing is, 1 year for Lent, I actually gave up Googling myself. Because, yeah.
Wait, are we talking Googling or Googling? Can we?
Googling. No, like
Googling. Googling, air quotes, or Googling.
Like Googling.
Okay, Googling.
So, gotcha. So,
you gave up raging narcissism for Lent.
For those listening on the podcast.
Okay.
But it was really hard. And I wrote this whole thing. I'm like, guys, internet, I'm going to give up Googling myself for Lent.
Wait. You told the internet you were doing this first?
Yeah.
Doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose?
Well, the thing is, I'm not a narcissist. I, like, make a real, real effort to be a narcissist because it's sort of required for my job.
What? Okay.
Because I have to, like, blog on the internet every day in the first person often. And so you have to have this delusion that people are interested in hearing what you have to say, which is often a total delusion because, like, I mean, I don't even think in, like, interesting 140-character thoughts. So to, like, get 750 words out of me, you know, daily, twice, really requires, like, serious alchemy.
Are you trying to get fired?
No.
Okay. Because I don't think you're a columnist for the Washington Post. Is this correct?
Yes, that's totally correct, sir.
I didn't do any research. Do you blog or do you actually write for the physical paper?
Both.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, actually, I'm writing on Shakespeare tomorrow, so check it out. I have some insights.
Do you want to come to my failed audition?
I will totally come to your
audition. Thank you very much.
No, yeah. My specialty is failed auditions. I actually auditioned for America's Got Talent, like, as a joke.
What did you audition with?
Well, I said that my name was Lady Ampersand and that I was a performance artist, but they put me in the vocalist category because I think they were confused. And what I learned from this was actually, like, you can't be weirder than somebody who's actually weird when you're just trying to be weird.
No, you can't.
No, you physically can't. I thought, I'm like, I'm going to be super weird. I'm going to go in there, and I'm just going to, like, be super weird and, like, awkward, and I'm going to sing I Dreamed a Dream, and then I'm going to rap about George Washington, which I thought was pretty weird, right? You know, superficially.
Kind of, yeah. It's nerdy weird. It's cute weird.
But yeah. No, exactly. And, like, right before me was this guy, and I went in and I sang my thing, and he goes, great, now we're going to pray over you. And I'm like,
what?
You are kidding.
You're
me.
You're like, that guy wins.
Yeah, he had brought his mom. He had, like, a face, like, one of those faces. Like, you know those fish? Like, he looked like...
Nope. Like,
the fish in, like, the supermarket. You drive past the fish. I don't know why you're driving through the supermarket.
Nope, still lost.
But, so...
So he was dead.
He was, like, one of those, like, you know lobsters?
I know lobsters. I'm with you.
Okay, so you're with me on the lobsters.
I am.
So he's like a lobster face.
Yes. Okay. So you had a lobster face in America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
And top was, that world.
Yeah, but he sang beautifully and lived with his mother, so, you know, there's hope for us yet.
Would you have dated him?
I gave him a friend's number.
Seriously?
Yeah.
He asked for your number and you gave him a friend's number. Did you warn your friend?
I don't like this friend.
Ooh.
Really?
So
I always give people
friend.
Her numbers. One time a taxi cab driver hit on me and was like, literally, I'm in a taxi, and the taxi cab driver goes, "Have you ever had sex with a man with a 7.5-inch penis before?" And I was like, "Excuse me." And he kept going like, "No, 7.5 inches.
You were like, "Do I not have to pay for this anymore? Because I'll do that."
And he started like explaining this to me. He's like, "No, look on the wheel. I will demonstrate on the wheel like how long this is." Like he was doing like hands on the clock. And finally I just like gave him my college roommate's number.
What's her name?
Sorry. Yeah, what's
but
her
she
name?
She lives in like another
What's her
city.
Name?
What's her name?
Oh, come on. If you're giving out her number, you can give out her name.
Well, I'm giving out her number to people who
You can give out her number right
fine,
now.
Fine, what's her number?
I actually, like, it's awkward that I have it memorized, but I can tell you. Yes. And we can bleep it out.
There's nothing, we will not bleep anything out. We will amplify it. So that has nothing to do with your job. You're a columnist.
Yeah.
How is that? Is that fun?
It is super fun.
That's a Jim and Inglick question. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There's a cab driver downstairs.
Well, as long as you're not asking for Natasha, we're safe. I mean, no, sorry, Gloria. Gloria was the name I gave him, actually.
Wait, is Natasha your college roommate?
She's the roommate. Gloria is the name I gave him, though. So
and you're on Facebook. You're Facebook friends with her? So all you have to do is be friends with Alexandra on Facebook and figure out who that Natasha is. And by the end of the show, I'm sure we'll say her name on the microphone. Alexandra, what about Rush Limbaugh?
Wow, what a spontaneous question. I really appreciated that. So
let's talk about Rush.
Rush.
It's on everybody's mind.
Yeah, August Rush.
Sure.
It was beautiful.
The band Rush.
Yeah,
band it
Rush.
Is 2112.
Yeah. Slap at the bass.
It's 2112.
2012. Yeah.
No, it's 2112.
I don't know why we're saying it's 2012, like the Mayans. I don't know.
No, it's 2112.
I want to hear about Rush Limbaugh.
Okay.
I mean, things I don't already know and hate about him.
Okay, well, so...
Enlighten me, my friend.
He denounced me on the air this March.
What?
Whoa, congratulations! Yay! That's fantastic!
Were you taking birth control? Is that...
No, well,
like, how dare you, you trollop, lady of the
trollop.
Night?
Yeah, well, no, he used less polite words with fewer syllables.
Oh.
But, you know... You know,
no, we don't tell us.
So basically, what happened was like he had that awful week where he was like dissing Sandra Fluke and being like, you know, you're a trollop,
slutty
and,
prostitute yeah,
exactly.
for taking birth control.
And so
agreed.
I noticed that like Politico had this whole article where it's like the only people who are really super excited about advertising with Rush Limbaugh after Slutgate are.
I love how it's always a gate.
It's always gate.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. After Slut Door, are like. AshleyMadison.com, which is the website you go to if you're seeking to have an affair. They're
oh,
always,
yes.
Short, have an affair.
Yes.
And they had this whole press release out about how they were super excited to advertise with Rush. And then there was also SeekingArrangement.com, which is a website you go to. Well, maybe this crowd already knows because they, I don't know. No, I'm kidding. I'm not insulting you. It's for sugar daddies. If you want to find a sugar daddy.
Do you know where you're at?
It's too hip here.
There's
yes,
nobody
is.
Wealthy enough here to be.
Yeah,
they're oppressively hip here. Right. Like, there's more plaid here.
Did you say it's oppressively,
hip here? Hip. Yeah, no. I'm like, I got these shoes at J.Crew and I feel
I am bogged
unsafe.
Down by all these jorts.
Jorts. There's a kimono.
All right, so what did Rush call you?
And so...
you wrote a column.
So I wrote this piece being like, isn't it funny that the only people who want to advertise with him are these people who are, like, actively seeking sluts? Like, that's sort of, like, weird and conceptually odd. And
ChristianSingles.com.
He said that's ChristianSingles.com, and props to you, sir. But
stop encouraging them.
Anyway, so I was like, it's funny that they're the only ones who want to advertise with him. And then the next day, I stayed really late at the office. I'm like, I was working this piece about beef slime. I'm like, you know, pink slime, this new beef thing. And I worked really hard. I researched beef alkalinity, and I filed this thing. And I'm like, great, I don't have to go into the office until, like, noon tomorrow because, like, my beef piece is going in the morning, and it's going to take care of everything.
That was an innuendo.
Actually, that connects with the crowd a lot.
I Googled the beef piece.
Her beef piece will be in the office at noon. Go ahead.
And so I...
Get you free cab rides,
And then
too.
I sort of, like, I wake up that morning, and... I was Googling myself, as is my wont, and...
This was not during Lent, obviously.
And I noticed that, like, more people were talking about me than usual. So I texted a couple of friends. I'm like, based on, like, what's going on Twitter, I think Rush Limbaugh might have just denounced me on the air. Can you check into this? And they're like, yeah, he just denounced you on the air. He called you B.I. Itchy.
Are you
bitchy or did
no?
You say
no,
he
said bi itchy, which is some
so
sort of bowel.
An extra
itchy.
I. Yeah.
She's like, got an itchy butt.
You're bi itchy.
Bi itchy. Yeah.
Your itchy can go either way.
Yeah.
He's so smart.
Itchy curious. itchy questioning.
There you go.
Itchy ally. No. So he was like, So then I come into the office and I sort of knew it was going to be bad because
yes.
I'd never been denounced before.
Did it feel good?
It was my
yeah,
first
how
denouncing.
How can it be bad? I feel like they'd yeah. be like, good job.
Yeah.
Because like, nobody really respects him anymore, even though he still has a job.
Well, my favorite quote about Rush Limbaugh is like some guy who was asked to look into the demographics of his radio listeners was like, the average age of the Limbaugh listener is deceased. And
it's boring.
That pretty much described it to me. I got into the office, I had like 9 missed calls, and one of the missed calls was from like a dead man who was like, I'm from 1830 and you're a trollop. And I'm like,
how did he know how to use a phone?
Like, it was a telegraph that had been like read aloud by this lady. They have a service. It's
they have
like
an app for
IP
that.
Relay.
But, a Morse code app?
Yeah.
All right, so Rush Limbaugh thinks you're a whore, which makes your parents really proud, right?
Yeah, no, so they were sort of confused by all this. I tried to tell my grandmother this was happening because I wound up on MSNBC about it. And, like, there was a little panel of, like, ladies who'd been dissed by Rush, and I was one of the ladies.
That'd be a cool party!
Like, we need to, like, get together and, like, have tea later.
Are any of those women single?
They're all single, I think.
Oh.
Except, no, Sandra Fluke's engaged now.
Yeah, I saw that on MSNBC
today. To a man.
Yeah,
to a man.
That was the retort from the lady from McLaughlin Group. That's blonde.
Oh, hey, whoa, blonde.
Well, she's the only blonde woman on McLaughlin Group. Sorry,
I'm
I wasn't like insulting you. Yeah.
Did you mean naturally blonde? Because obviously, I'm like, no,
you're
not
blonde by choice. You're
not
by choice.
This lady. I choose to be misrepresented.
Hey, that was good. I enjoyed that a bit. Thank you. So okay. How do you develop material for your column? Like, do you have like a giant spreadsheet where you plan everything out? It's just like, this seems fun. How could I get Rush Limbaugh to call me a whore? How does it work? Because that's pretty much all I'm doing.
Well, because mostly what I did was like, I told him like I wanted to have a sandwich with him later, and like he never
Rush?
Responded. No, yeah, nothing like kills
a real sandwich.
Yeah, I'm like, Rush, I would like to have a sandwich with you because I believe that you're a good person deep down. So
why did you lie? You don't think he's a good person deep down.
Well, under all the layers somewhere, I believe that there's a good person. No,
that's just called bone. That's not a thing. Like, yes, we're all made of things, but that doesn't make them good things.
Well,
it's like, just calcium deposits.
But under the calcium deposits...
It's nothing! It's marrow!
Marrow.
Yes.
I was going to say marrow.
So Rush is made of marrow. The end. He's not going to donate to anybody because it's full of Oxycontin. I don't know how things work.
No, but, like, he gets in trouble for, like, saying rude things. And I feel like the way to respond to him saying rude things is not to say rude things yourself.
You're
going to
kill
him
with
a sandwich.
Kindness.
Yeah.
Or
I
knives.
I want to have a sandwich with him.
Mostly kindness.
Mostly kindness.
But some weapons.
I'm inept with
That's
knives.
A threat. Record this.
Yeah.
All right. You got any more plans to anger any more conservative radio hosts?
I don't know. I like, what was funny about it was like I got like 300 people being like, we don't know what you did, but Rush Limbaugh's mad at you, so therefore we like you.
Yeah. That's me.
So,
like, that's the best. It's really, that's pretty much saying like Iggy Pop thinks you are a good musician or David Lynch thinks you're a good filmmaker. Rush Limbaugh calls you a whore means you're doing everything right. Well, your year's pretty much peaked.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. It's all downhill for me, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, maybe we could... How could we get you back with the anger of Rush Limbaugh?
Well, he was dissing Hillary Clinton lately.
Yeah, that's what... He's been calling her a feminazi since 1991. It's fine. How do I anger Rush Limbaugh? He doesn't really get mad at white males.
Well, no, you could do
Let's
it.
Let's make this
you
about could, me. I'm sorry.
You should have an abortion, I think. Should we?
Is it possible to have a gay abortion?
A gay abortion.
A Jaja Gabortion.
Ooh. Oh, that's my drag name. My drag name is Jaja Gabortion. Well, we're not going to top that. Alexandria, you can be found every fucking day. Not every fucking day. Monday through Friday on the Washington Post website and in the print edition.
Yeah.
You're a successful young person, and it makes a lot of people like me jealous. In all honesty, thank you so much for doing the show. I know it's not your usual cup of tea. This is not MSNBC.
No.
Fuck you, then.
What? I'm kidding. No.
What? Why would you say...
The lighting is friendlier here.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot.
And there's a DJ. There was no DJ there, and they were, like, frightening, and they put earpieces in you.
We didn't put anything in you.
It was like Total Recall.
Yeah.
Give these people their air.
Time for plugs. You got anything to plug?
Plug, I don't know, come see my Fringe show. It's called Young Republicans.
Because when I was here last, your guest was Cutie Pie, who organized the Fringe.
Yep,
what's her name?
Yeah. Her name was Cutie Pie.
Thank you.
Good job marginalizing women. I'm proud of you, Jen.
She's got a vagina, right?
I don't know. A Fringe show coming up, which people could find where?
They can find it on the internet, or just go to like capitalfringe.com. It's super funny.
The Young Republicans.
It's called Young Republicans.
Young Republicans.
It'll anger Rush.
You're trying to anger Rush through the Fringe Festival, but not the Washington Post?
Well,
you should flip those.
I'm proverbially incompetent at this because I just,
I love that you said for proverbially, I can't say the words. Alexander Petrie, Petrie.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Alexander Petrie.
Play the music, sir. Barbra Streisand.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. I'm butting in to let you know that I write a weekly column for this website called Brightest Young Things. The name of the column is called Behind the Desk, and it's pretty much whatever is applicable to this talk show or talk shows in general, things that I find fascinating. It goes up once a week at brightestyoungthings.com, and you can find every column at youmethemeverybody.com. So if you haven't been to the website in a while, that's an excuse to go. Once again, it's called Behind the Desk. It's a weekly column I write, and I'd really appreciate it if you gave it a glance. Thanks for listening, and back to the show. Hey, guys. We did it! We did it, everybody! Listen, I want to thank everybody for sticking around. I really...
Are we finished?
No, we're far from over.
I was going to say, I have to pee, but I'll stay.
Well, actually...
My bladder is so full.
Well, I think one of the problems with our talk show that we do here at the Wonderland Ballroom is, yes, we're in D.C. and it's an international city, but I don't think we get enough international guests. So what I wanted to do is bring over someone that isn't from North America. I wanted to bring over someone that's from Africa, actually. So he's from South Africa, and I really want to introduce him, and I think you're really going to like him. Guys, give him your ears, give him your eyes. Please put your hands together for Sir Alistair Sinclair from Her Majesty's Royal Army. Alistair, would you like to have Sir Alistair?
Yes, Sir Alistair.
Sir Alistair, would you like to have a seat or would you like to stand?
I'd like to stand.
Okay. Well, you
share a brief story.
You have a story
with the children here at the Wonderland Ballroom.
Do I do anything or do I just sit back and enjoy the story?
You can sit back, strap in.
I will strap in right now.
And listen to a story from the bush. When I was a much younger man than I am right now, I was stationed in an area that is now known as the country Namibia. And there was a terrible rumor about a ferocious beast that was ravaging the countryside. I got a letter in my office and I decided to go out onto the field. And I approached a town that had just been ravaged by the ferocious beast. The town was smoldering in rubble, and there was a single young boy standing in the middle. He was naked, his skin browned by the beautiful African sun, his cock as gorgeous as any cock I had ever seen. I went up to the little boy and I said, "Little boy, what's your name?" And he didn't speak English. But I said, "I am going to call you Andy." So Andy and I left the smoldering rubble of the town to find the ferocious beast which had been killing children and families all over the side. The countryside and the savannah. We were traveling for 3 days, me and Andy. The nights were long and cold. The massage is endless. On the third day, we found a particularly good location to find the beast, and all of a sudden, the most enormous lion I'd ever seen came into the crosshairs of my rifle. I aimed, and I fired, and I fired, and I discharged, and I discharged my rounds onto the beast. And when the dust settled and my ammunition had gone bone dry, the beast came up to me and said, "You, sir, you could not kill me. Now you have to decide one of two options. Either I could eat you and your Andy, or you have to suck my dick." I gave the beast fellatio. The eruption in my mouth was like a geyser. The following year, I returned to the scene with a new hunting rifle, the newest model on the market. I aimed my weapon, and I fired upon the beast, and fired, and fired, and fired, and fired. And when the dust settled, the beast came up to me, and he said, "Same two options. Either I eat you and your Andy, or you have to suck my dick." I sucked that lion's dick like I had never sucked a dick before. And when his orgasmic explosion was done, he left me in my Andy. The following year, the machine gun had been invented. And I bought the newest model straight off the boat from the south of America. Where all assault rifles are developed. And I waited in that same spot for the beast. And I discharged 1,000 rounds that could be heard all around the countryside. Trees fell. Flowers ripped from the ground. African flowers. The mushroom cloud of dust settled, and the lion approached me, and he looked at me square in the eye, and he said, "You must really like sucking my dick." Thank you.
Sir Alistair Sinclair, everybody. Take a seat, sir. Play him on.
Your music, it sounds as if Stephen Hawking, the scientist, composed a song developed by his voice computer.
All right. Sir Alistair, I appreciate... Are you in town just to do the show, or are you just stopping through DC? Why are you... Sir Alistair, I'm sure that's appropriate,
Brandon,
in South Africa, but not here in the States or the district.
Brandon, I have some terrible news.
What's the news, Sir Alistair Sinclair?
Like most geriatrics, I'm a big fan of podcasting, obviously.
Really? I had no idea.
And the doctor called me the other day, and Andy picked up the phone.
Oh, you're still with Andy. That's nice to hear.
Andy and I, 60 years strong.
Oh, wow.
He still hasn't learned English, though.
Oh, no.
But that's quite fine by me.
Okay. Wait, what's your living situation with Andy?
Andy and I live in the savannah.
Oh, really?
Yes, in the gay neighborhood.
Oh, good. Safer, the better schools.
DuPont Savannah.
Anyway, so I get a call and it's my doctor, and I say, "Doctor, I haven't been to a doctor in forever."
And he said, I get it.
And he said, "Alistair, I have some terrible news. You have cancer of the cock."
Oh, no!
"It has spread throughout your system. You have 30 days. And since your podcast is one of my favorite...
Oh, thanks, buddy!
Favorite podcasts...
I didn't know you had internet in the Savannah.
Well, like most geriatrics, I love podcasts.
I got that part.
I go to the Savannah Internet Cafe.
Oh!
And I download all of your episodes
in
bulk.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Also, there's a young man on your podcast that I've taken a great fancy to.
Who is that?
His name is Adam Friedland.
Really?
And I checked out his Twitter feed, and it is amazing. I don't know if you've seen it.
What is? Let's give out the name of that Twitter feed, just so people.
At Adam's Thoughts.
No underscore, just regular.
No underscore.
At
wonder.
Adam's Thoughts.
And you know, he just
plural Adam.
It's just
possessive
tidbits.
Adam.
It's just a little bit of what's going on. A little bit of oh no.
So you, Sir Alistair Sinclair, who live in the Savannah,
yes,
follow Adam's Thoughts on Twitter, and because of following Adam's Thoughts on Twitter, you found out about this podcast.
Found out about this podcast.
So you go to the Internet Cafe in the Savannah to download this show in bulk.
And then I find out I have cancer of the cock.
Of the cock, sorry.
And at that moment, I realized my final wish in my final days was to be on your podcast.
Oh, wow.
And to
thank
tell
you
my story
so much.
Of the ferocious beast whose cock I had to suck.
I understand.
On three occasions.
This was 60 years ago. 60,
my story
59, 58 years
must
ago.
Must be recorded.
It just
my
didn't.
Story must be remembered. People, please heed my words. Lions are very real. Their cocks make tremendous explosions.
I think the thing we need to remember is lions speak English.
Yeah.
Lions speak English. Andy, not so much.
British English.
Thank you so much for having me this evening. I'm going to go die on the Potomac River.
Oh, no!
As my father and his father did before him.
Well, that's nice. It's good to keep the tradition
alive. I love you. Can I please have a kiss before
of
I...
Of course! Of course we can kiss!
Okay.
Would you like to kiss on the mouth or the cheek?
On the mouth.
Thank you. That was
Thank
very
you.
Nice.
That wasn't... Well, it didn't make a smoochy noise, but it was fun.
It was very fun. Well... I would love to plug your stuff, but since you're going to go die, follow Adam's Thoughts on Twitter as Sir Alistair Sinclair's final wish.
Put your hands together for Chris Kelly, everybody. Your band name is Parsley. Before she plays, give her your ears, give her your eyes. You're in other bands. Please plug those bands.
Right now? I am in two bands.
What are the bands you're in?
One is called Frau Eva, which actually has graced this stage or this show, this podcast.
No, Frau Eva hasn't. No, you haven't. No, I interviewed Frau Eva. I had your other band play the show, I think. Yeah, I thought... What's your other band? Yeah, Oh, fuck, yeah, you're right. Frau Eva played the show, and I interviewed Pri at CMJ.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
She's in two other awesome bands. Well, she's in two bands, and this is her solo project, and I'm so fucking psyched she's here tonight. That's not a joke. Ladies and gentlemen, give her your ears. Give her your eyes. Put your hands together for Parsley, everybody.
Thank you. So this first song is a song that I play in Frau Eva, actually. It's called Blue Beetle. I'm about to take it down a whole lot of notches. Just to let you know. Yeah. Blue Beetle, crawl across the serpentine floor. A blur at the window, two lines to my eyes. Floor has returned. Away. I hear you calling my Your song has soaked through tissue and bone. Is this what I've waited for? Shadows battle to feel their way from this chambered bell. Is this what I've waited for? Okay, this next one's called Violet. Lines that I followed fall in wide open. Left them behind at the jaws of escape. Eyes closed, the hole deep, violet trembles, soaks into marrow, relish the madness. All that's left here is me. Walls erected. I'm lonely, it's bare, and I'm scared, and I can't help feeling this way. No, I can't stay. Turns into sea, land cracked open under my feet. want this fire, sleepless sun. India ink and the blood I read. All that's left here is me. Deadly nightshade. I'm lonely, it's barren, I'm scared, and I'm not used to feeling this way. No, I can't stay. Thank you.
In the gentle morning.
Oh, let me do it again.
In the gentle morning of late summer sun. Teeth piercing nectarine waters down our tongue. Days ahead, haze is marking delible on words you said. As long as the frightened static walks alone, I'll dream until the end. There, the sky never fails. Sky never fails. Yellow light upon our heads. Fever grew in dusty rhythms waking from your bones. A burning heart is all I've got to carry me through. Sun tipped high is gone, we've slept too long in glow. Oh. Static walks alone, I'll dream until the end. There the sky never fails. Sky never fails. Sky never fails. Of unrest, you know that I feel it deeper than I mean to. Oh. Sky keeps clearer. Unconceding, you know, song is underneath eyelids. We'll keep dreaming. Oh.
Thank you. Okay, so this next one is a cover, which I've never played live before and only recently learned, so here goes. It's a Dirty Projectors song called This Weather.
Oh, yeah.
When I start to feel this way, I might as well call it a day. When I start to feel this way, I can only wonder, what is this weather I'm under? What is this weather I'm under? Thank you. I have one more song. Thanks so much, Brandon, and everyone on this variety show. I let it all find its way to me, but the days all blurred together, I found I could not separate them out into colors. It's how I think these days. I'm lost without a reason. A scent has driven me to the sea. Oh. Shy amongst the clouds, when your voice dripped up into my ear, sway the nerves frayed from a fear, taught me to swallow deeper breath. But it's harder than I know it should be. The white hot flames leap up so cleanly. Thank you. place a seat sweetened with leaves. They won't lead us down. See the ways we watch the colors change in our heads. Ooh. Ooh. Clouds sleep upon bones that we open at night. Senses keen dead, we forgot to feel alive. Ooh. Ooh. I felt the end come. Thank you very much.
Could I say your real name into the microphone? Fucking clap for Vanessa, man! That was awesome! This is kind of cool. I just found out that our lesbian couple got engaged this week. So, I know, this is so cool. I want to say congratulations to Vanessa and Marie. This is fucking awesome news. I'm so glad you celebrated your night with us. It really means a lot. It was a really cool way to start off the weekend. So, thank you. Thank you. Oh, not this Vanessa. She's one of those boring straights. Whatever. But, I mean, so Vanessa and Marie, congratulations. Buy them shots, everybody. They deserve a shot for that. I want to thank our guests, obviously, Parsley. It's weird to talk to an individual and use their, band. Thank you, Vanessa. That was fucking fantastic. I want to thank... You know what? I feel awful. I've already forgotten our new friend's name. Sir... I want to say Alistair Crawley. Alistair what? Alistair... Nope, not Cook. Is it not Cook, is it? It wasn't Crawley. I want to thank Sir Downton Abbey for doing the show. It meant a lot. He's currently in the process of offing himself, so as a tribute, you should definitely follow at Adam's Thoughts on Twitter. Alexandra, this was not like an MSNBC appearance. This was the opposite. No, the opposite would be the... We're in between Rush Limbaugh and MSNBC. That's what this show is. I don't think that's a good thing. Thank you so much. Jen, good on ya. You'll be back at the end of May. I'm excited to see you at the end of May. Next week, we have a fantastic show. We have A26's Joe Callahan. A26 is a great charity organization. They're down the street. That's fantastic. Stand up from Chelsea Short, who's awesome. Music from Shark Week. And Ruth will be here, a co-hosting. That will be fun. And finally, I want to thank Chris Kelly. Yes. Thank you, Chris. You made me realize I don't necessarily hate dance music. I actually like most of it. I just don't like people that like dance music, which makes me an awful human being. Chris is whatever, but his girlfriend's really where it's at. She's the shit. Thank you guys for coming and have a wonderful night.